Welcome to Barry Maguire's Tales from the Trenches, real life stories of Canadian real estate investors. Learn more at www.barrymaguire.ca.
Tales from the Trenches are stories that we bring to the stage from my clients and from members. They phone me up and talk about pieces of something or other that they've stepped in and what are they going to do, and we use them as teaching moments. So that's what Tales from the Trenches is all about. You know, overall, we are a buy and hold organization. Overall, that's what we do. The majority of my portfolio is buy and hold. Every once in a while, we run into opportunities that allow some of these other strategies to be used, but that's not what I do all the time and probably not what you're going to do all the time either. So creative cash takes time and effort. And the quotation we've got, geniuses themselves don't talk about the gift of genius. They just talk about hard work and long hours. James Cash Penny. James Cash Penny. Other better known as J.C. Penny of department store fame in the U.S. A very smart guy, James Cash Penny. Built his empire from nothing to 1,400 stores in about 20 years. Was a really good guy to his employees. And he was smart, but he said it's all about hard work. And so when we're talking about these creative strategies, we have to remember that they're just not smooth as silk. There's lots of work that you have to do. There's lots of stuff you have to learn. And there's lots of effort that you have to put in. So that's just the way it is if you're going to make giant sums of money using creative real estate. All right. So we're going to talk first about this thing called agreements for sale. So to set the stage, one of our members found a property in his community. There was a mom and a dad and a ne'er-do-well son. Mom and dad's marriage was falling apart. The son was in and out of jail. Things are falling to bits, really. The property's worth about $200,000. They owe $10,000 in mortgage arrears. And this has gone past the bank knocking on your door and say, please pay up. It's already at the lawyers and in foreclosure. And maybe going to be taken away from them pretty quick. So it's well along the foreclosure path. They owe $4,000 in condo fees. And what's an owner going to do in that circumstance? They don't want the property anymore. They only have $10,000 worth of equity, but they don't really because they have to pay up these arrears. You can't get a realtor. If somebody comes along and wants to list that property with you, you take a look at it and go, there's nothing in here. We can't list the property. There's not enough room to pay the commission. What if we only get $195,000 instead of $200,000? So that doesn't work. So if you want to buy this property on the buying side, if it's creative, then it isn't a conventional mortgage. It's not a CMHC mortgage, is it? It's none of those things. It's this thing called an agreement for sale, which, as I said, is a seller financing technique. An agreement for sale is both a document and a concept. The concept is that the seller sells you the property for often a small sum of money, and they're your bank for the rest of the dough. They're your bank for the rest of the money. A couple of key things, and the major thing about agreements for sale, and what sellers love, is that the title does not go into your name as the buyer. Title stays in the seller's name. You can file something against the title saying you have an interest in the property, but sellers are comforted by knowing that the title remains in their name. So that's one thing. And I guess the other thing is that the seller is now your bank. Doesn't matter whether he's got a big mortgage on the property, like in this case, the mortgage was $190,000 on a $200,000 value property, or a tiny mortgage or no mortgage at all. You're not assuming the underlying mortgage. The seller is lending you money. So that's the nature of the agreement for sale. Our members suggested this to these folks, and it was tough slugging, let me tell you, because you really want to know the background of these things. Hard getting information out of the foreclosure lawyers because they don't want to give you information because they're so inundated by people who think foreclosures are the great way to buy property that, you know, they just don't want to talk to people because they're not getting paid for it. Condo Corp wasn't very helpful. This foreclosure thing had gone back and forth with these folks a couple of times. It wasn't the first crack at it. They go into foreclosure, they'd pay it up. They go into foreclosure, they'd pay it up. But finally, we got enough information to say we knew what was going on with the property. We knew what the arrears were, both condo and mortgage. And so we wrote up a contract using a standard area form, Standard Area Real Estate Purchase Contract, MLS contract, and a specialized agreement for sale schedule. Kind of need a specialized one to describe how much the seller is lending you, what the terms are. We found the owners a lawyer who understands agreement for sale, which is an old concept. Agreements for sale were very popular in Alberta when you needed to put down 50% or a giant down payment before CMHC. I mean, not many people were buying houses using a bank if it was a 50% down payment. So sellers often sold by way of agreement for sale or with a VTB mortgage. We wrote up the offer. We got him to a lawyer who understands agreements for sale. It went relatively smoothly in there. One thing we really wanted in what we call these low equity, no equity deals, you know, in a property worth $200,000, if there's only $10,000 between the value of the mortgage and the value of the property, that's low equity. That's low equity. We wanted a full power of attorney. Full power of attorney. The seller in this case is going to get all the money they're getting up front. Once they get all that money, where's their skin in the game? Why do they care about what's going on? In a couple of years, when it's time to pay out that agreement for sale, what if they're not around? What if they're not around? So we really like to get a full power of attorney, but they wouldn't give it to us. And our member kind of back and forth, should I or shouldn't I? Anyway, he decided to close without the power of attorney. We did get a transfer of land, which is the document that moves the title from the sellers to the buyers. And we closed on the deal with our member paying $16,000 cash, 10 for the mortgage arrears that had to be paid up, 4 for the condo fees, and 2,000 for the seller's lawyer's legal fees. These people, sellers, have no money. They have no money. So our member paid the seller's lawyer's legal fees, and agreements for sale are document heavy, and you know the fees are a little bit higher. Closed the deal and put a great tenant in the property. Trouble with the bank. CIBC is the bank. We want to make sure the mortgage underlying mortgage payments are being made. They don't want to deal with us. We have a management agreement. They don't care. And the reason is it's gone to foreclosure. When it goes off to the lawyers for foreclosure, you can't talk to the people at the branch anymore. They go, talk to the foreclosure guys. And you say, but we paid it all up. It should be back with you at the branch. And they go, yeah, right, but it isn't. So kiss off. Anyway, sorted through that. Sorted through the condo fees. They didn't like the sellers either because of all the trouble they were in collecting fees. Put a great tenant in with some positive cash flow. Wasn't great positive cash flow. It was $100 a month. Not bad. Now, we fast forward 2 years. The underlying CIBC mortgage had a term that expired in, I think it was July of this year. So that's what we set the agreement for sale term for as well. It's a good idea to match up the term of the underlying mortgage with the term of the agreement for sale money that you owe the seller, so they're both due at the same time, so you're not worrying about payout penalties. Is our member in the clear? Is he finished? Is he done? No. He's not done, because when he goes off to see his broker or his bank and he wants to either refinance or sell to somebody else, they go, show us the title. They're picky about because of money laundering and terrorism and mortgage fraud. Lenders and title insurance companies want to see that the name on the contract as the seller is also the name on the title. And it isn't our guy's name on the title. What's he going to do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He went to, after he tried his regular lenders, he went off to see Dale Keller at Calvert Home Mortgage. Said to Dale, listen, the property's worth way more than the $200,000 that I paid for it. I can't sell it or list it until I pay out CIBC and the title's in my name. Can you help me out? And Dale could. And some people might say, they might think that what you have to pay to Dale for fees and interest and so forth is expensive, but we'll just get to the end of the story and you judge whether it's expensive or whether you're great, really glad to know him. Got the money from Calvert Home Mortgage, paid out the existing CIBC mortgage, put the property into our client's name, listed now with a realtor, because now he can sell, and he sold it very quickly for $268,000. That was over 2 years. Now, when he bought it, the market was depressed, $268,000. By the time he paid out the Calvert fees and the real estate commission and the legal fees and any other expenses of the deal, his return on investment, or his ROI, we like to throw around that ROI, but it means return on investment, was 280% over the 2 years. So agreements for sale work, they work where a seller has not very much equity in a property, and they know they don't, and they just want to get rid of it. They work where a seller doesn't mind carrying some financing. You might have a seller who has a clear title property, but if you tell him that you'll pay him 5%, it's the same argument or discussion that you would have when you're asking a seller to carry a vendor take-back mortgage, or VTB. So they work well in at least a couple of circumstances, like that. 280% ROI, is that a useful return in a couple of years? I would say. That was good. What do we learn out of this? So low equity or no equity doesn't mean no value. I had a couple of clients who were passing over these kinds of deals. They were coming by, and people would say, well, you know, I've got like 5,000 equity. And they go, no, it's no good for us. It's not how it works. We can't do anything with that. But low equity, no equity doesn't mean no value. If you can buy in a cyclical low, hold on and manage hard, like we like to do with all of our properties, turn it around in a couple of years, you know, you can get a really good return on this. Some downsides, I mean, I suppose at the end of 2 years, interest rates could have risen and the market still could have been depressed. But in a case like that, you probably look at doing a renewal of the agreement for sale. Seller doesn't mind, they don't have any more money coming. And you organize it for another couple of years. Power of attorney, we've talked about that. It really is essential. Get it if you can. Argue hard to have a full and complete power of attorney so you're really in control of that property. Now, this is a senior strategy. As I said, I really think that most of us do lots of buy and hold, and I don't think you should just dive into agreements for sale as your first venture into real estate, but it's good to know about it as an alternate strategy for when one of these situations come up. So you do need lots of coaching. You need education, you need coaching, you need lots of figuring out about how this works, but it can be really, really good. You know, the legal fees are a lot higher because there's lots of babysitting on the legal side to do. Yep. They really are. But as long as your return is decent, in the same way that getting the financing from Keller, from Dale Keller at Calvert Home Mortgage, to be able to do that deal, it wasn't expensive. So,
thanks for listening to Barry McGuire's Tales from the Trenches. Get the inside scoop on real estate investing from one of Canada's foremost real estate lawyers. To print this tale, and for more valuable investing insights, go to www.barrymaguire.ca.